going to be kind of a mysterious sermon. A very mysterious subject. What do you think of when you hear the word mystery? I've mentioned this a time or two before in the last year, in other contexts. But what do you think of the word mystery? Maybe a good mystery novel. I don't know if you read mystery novels or not. Sherlock Holmes or a detective movie or a story. Maybe just a good puzzle. We have these things of detectives, and they're in some particular situation, maybe on a speeding train, and there's a terrible crime committed, murder most foul. And the brilliant detective then notices everything and figures out all of the clues. The detective can see and has extraordinary powers of observation, and then has this wonderful, brilliant, logical mind. And with powers of observation and logic, reconstructs the crime and nabs the bad guy. Often mysteries work that way. Superior powers of logic and observation. Sometimes you see in the news these days, cold case mystery solved. You see those pretty regularly now with all the new forensic techniques that people have. They could look at all of the evidence and get whole new cases formed, and then using reason solve ancient or crimes that go back for decades or something perhaps. Cold case solved mystery. Turn to Matthew 13, 10 through 12. Matthew 13, 10 through 12. We're going to be going to this a good bit today. You may want to hold your place there a bit. Here Christ mentions mysteries, mysteries. The disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them has not been given. For whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Did you know there are mysteries in the Bible? There are a lot of mysteries stated in the Bible. What are they? What are these mysteries? The New Testament mentions them a lot. They're mysteries that we can know, but not only can know, mysteries that we must know. I've mentioned Bible mysteries, as I've said before, from time to time. But today, let's look into detail at what these mysteries in God's word are, because they are important to us. We'll see basically three things, what a mystery is in the Bible. And a big takeaway today is it is not the same as a secular mystery, like a mystery novel. There's a very important difference between them. And by the way, this was covered in some of the Bible study this past Wednesday, and it'll be covered some more in the Bible study this coming Wednesday. It's kind of all these things are going together here. And the second thing, we'll discuss some of these mysteries, go into what they are, and we'll list even more. The point is to get you really interested in what the mysteries are, so that you'll want to learn them and you'll study them. And when you see them, you say, "Well, I want to learn this mystery when I'm reading about it in the Bible." And then the third thing is what they mean to you. You who are the keepers and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Okay, point number one. What is a mystery in the Bible? Well, we'll start with Thayer's Greek lexicon. The word is mysterion. And biblically, it's a hidden or a secret thing that's not obvious to the understanding. A number of these are mentioned in the Bible. But in secular classical Greek, mysterion, generally mysteries, religious secrets, confided only to the initiated and not communicated by them to ordinary mortals. Sort of the same, but in the biblical usage, a mystery is something that is covered and must be revealed. It is covered and must be revealed. It is not discoverable by human reason. It is not discoverable by observation. You can't get it either way. It must be revealed to you. A detective or a scientist or a philosopher, lost, can't figure it out independently. It's foolishness to them, absurdity to them. Paul talks about this a lot in First Corinthians chapter 1, which we went over in the Bible study. We won't go into that much here. In contrast, the usual use of the word in the world is something that isn't known, but can be figured out by observation and by reasoning. That's the difference, a very important difference here. So when you see the word mystery in the Bible, it isn't like a mystery that we can solve by observation and reasoning. A mystery in the Bible defies our normal human understanding. It's foolishness and absurdity to the ordinary carnal mind. It is something that must be revealed spiritually by God. Romans 1:28. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Why are they mysteries to most of mankind? We could say a number of reasons here, but one reason is that people are unable to comprehend spiritual things, mostly by choice. Others simply don't want not God in their knowledge, so they choose not to know about it. Verse 28, you probably memorized the scripture. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things that are not fitting. When they didn't have God in their knowledge, not only did they not understand the mysteries, they rejected his revealed law and could do things with the debased mind and did things that were not fitting. Because they assumed that God doesn't exist, everything must have a physical explanation. And that's the basis of modern education, the Greek mind, as they say. It's got many names, but materialism is a general name for it. It assumes that we can only know what is in the material world and what we can reason from it. Spiritual things then are intentionally excluded. It's just superstition, you know. It's not really a good source of knowledge to have spiritual things revealed to you that you can't figure out. So God provides revelatory knowledge to us. So to repeat this once again, just to be sure we've got it, a mystery in the New Testament isn't a secret, but it's a spiritual thing that must be revealed and uncovered to be known. It's not discernible by physical means or philosophical reasoning. The Bible says, eyes have not seen and ears not hear. We have that in the second song that we sang today. You read that a lot in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Can't see, can't hear, but God reveals, gives eyes and ears. Materialists exclude the possibility of revealed knowledge, and as a result, they don't retain God in their knowledge, even if perhaps they do in some form. They don't care much, and they don't do what he said. And what is the result? Well, God calls it a reprobate mind. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. God's revelatory knowledge illuminates the world in a way that worldly education cannot. And it's frequently described as a light in the Bible, a light to our path. I've done this before, but let me do it again. It's like the Bible is a light and you shine it. God shines it on our way for us to see things. It gives us spiritual knowledge. It gives us, enables us to see things that we could not see otherwise. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them and illuminate their world. They would be able to see what's going on and understand the plan of God that he has for the world. But they're in darkness, blinded. Matthew 13, back to that. And we'll just do 11 and 16, remind us. In verse 11, and he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not has not been given to them. And then verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Sometimes we kind of read over that but you know things that were simply not revealed even to prophets. That were things that they wanted to see, that they were not going to be brought out into the open. They existed. They were always there. You can go back through the Old Testament and kind of see them and find them in places. But then God uncovers them for his church and for the world in his word in the New Testament after Christ came and made that possible. We're going to see that stated a little more strongly in a minute. But do we value what we see and hear? I mean, this is really, really important stuff according to our God. Do we really value it? Sometimes people get itching ears. Frequently we see that happening. You know why? They get itching ears and go off and listen to this person or that person and search all over the internet maybe for something that is new and different or contradictory. It's because they don't value what they've got. We must value what we've got. We must be good stewards of what we've got. Because if we don't value what you don't value, you lose. I'll point you to September-October 2021 Living Church News, A Mysterious Parable. September-October 2021 goes into why God covered some of these things in more detail. To summarize point number one, one reason that mysteries in the Bible are hidden from the world is that people exclude God from their knowledge, of course. We understand that God reveals in his word the spiritual things we need to know. Also, the mysteries are hidden by God from the world for now in righteousness, because we are responsible for what we know. But they are revealed to those in God's church who have been given the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Okay, point number two. Let's solve some mysteries. What are some mysteries in the Bible? Well, we'll start with the Old Testament first, Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. The New Testament does not represent a change in God's mind about mysteries and about this matter. This whole plan has been going on from the beginning. From the beginning. Verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and much of chapter 2, Paul contrasts revealed knowledge as opposed to knowledge gained by experience or knowledge gained by reasoning. He contrasts those a number of times and shows the importance of revealed knowledge. But here we're going to pick up beginning in verse 6. However, we speak the wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, which are coming to nothing. All of this great wisdom that mankind has, he says, is coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So these mysteries go way, way back, way before the ages, for our glory, a long plan that God has had. Verse 9, here it is again. For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Eye has not seen. You haven't observed it. Ear has not heard. Nobody figured it out and told you. God revealed them. He says this over and over. Maybe it's important. Matthew 13, verse 11. We read this earlier. But now let's elaborate on this some. Matthew 13. Christ revealed things about the nature of the kingdom that hadn't been known before. I said before, and he answered and said unto them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So, by the way, kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, Matthew uses those interchangeably in the book of Matthew. There are not any contradictions there. He uses the term kingdom of God as well in that book. But let's see what the mysteries. Notice this was plural. Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. There are a number of things that can be revealed. Verse 24, look down the page a bit. Another parable he put forth to them, saying the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Well, what happened? Somebody came in and sowed tares into the field, and they all came up together, and he said, oh, I had good seed, and now an enemy, picturing Satan, has sown tares in the field. What shall we do? He said, let them grow up together, then we will harvest it and separate the tares from the wheat, from the grain, the good corn that he's put out. That's going to happen in the kingdom of God. That's something that is revealed. That is something about the kingdom of God. Everyone grows up together, and then he separates them. Verse 31, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And what the little tiny seed grows up into a great big plant, and all kinds of creatures can live there and benefit from it and take things from it. Well, the kingdom of heaven is, the kingdom of God is like that too. Starts really small. Very small. 2,000 years ago, and it's grown, and we have the church. Many are still in their graves, and many are here. But then it is going to grow and become a great thing that many will benefit from. That's a characteristic of the kingdom. Verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was leavened. Now, what does a woman do? Well, she takes all this big lump, and then she puts leaven into it and works it, and works it, and works it. A bunch of ladies are smiling. I see you out there. Yeah, it's work, isn't it? Well, they have to work it and work it and work. Well, how is that like the kingdom of God? Well, of course, this new leaven that we're going to put in the world is going to be his church and his truth and his spirit, and it's going to take time to work until it fills the earth. But it's a work that we have to do for 1,000 years. Verse 33 to 43. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret, that is concealed by covering, from the foundation of the world. Now, verse 45 and 46, we're going to save until a little bit later. We'll come back to that. Turn to Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. We're going to start talking about some of the mysteries here. Some of them you know, maybe some of them you do not understand very well. Romans 16, beginning in verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. So now the scriptures are revealing it, and the whole world can see this if they will. Turn to Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. This, once again, is a mystery here. The mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God is a revealed thing. What it is and what it's going to be. I'd just like to point out that most of Christianity, of regular, of traditional Christianity, of Orthodox Christianity, is amillennial. They deny that Christ will rule on earth, that there will be a millennium ruled by Christ and his saints. They simply deny that. It's an interesting thing to remember. The gospel is a revealed thing. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, Paul speaking here, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, the revelation of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Just what are some of the characteristics that God reveals? It starts small and it grows. Does it all happen at once? It fills the whole world. All the world will be brought into it. A great blessing for everyone, not just for us. There's hope for the world. All peoples will come into it. All peoples, all cultures. It will be available to them and eventually will spread throughout the world. Those who reject it will have no life beyond the flesh and will be cast into a consuming fire. It will be composed of his saints who will shine as glory in the glory of the sun. This could go on and on, but these are revealed things that you just could not have observed somewhere or figured it out. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, some memory scripture, but the mystery of the translation of the saints into immortality. That is something God's word reveals more about the nature of those who are born into his kingdom. Behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery. What's a lot of these things, right? More to come. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Our hope is in the resurrection of the dead. Now, could you figure this out by yourself? Could you have done some experiments and done it? Could you have sat down and laid out a philosophical plan and started with some assumptions and reasoned further from it and put all of this together? Maybe not. Maybe not. This is something that has been there always but covered and then has been revealed. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says that you could not have figured this out for yourself. Once again, I'll just read this. But it is written, eye has not seen or ear heard or entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So it has not occurred to anyone in the world what these things are. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. 1 through 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. This is the mystery of the Gentiles. The mystery of the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which he's given to me for you, how that by the revelation he made known to me the mystery. Okay. Christ revealed a mystery, as I have briefly written already, which you have read, that you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Holy Spirit to his apostles and prophets. Okay, that's a long middle phrase in there, made to me known the mystery. And then we have the word that. Here comes the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Okay, how many people in ancient Israel knew that? Not many. Not many. How many people in the world since knew that? Not many. Or any, perhaps. Verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Paul was made the apostle to the Gentiles. And there was this mystery that nobody quite understood before. It got sorted out in Acts 15, but that he would be able to go to the Gentiles and that the Holy Spirit would be given to them. Verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent, the purpose, the outcome, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, point here, by the church. By the church. Have you ever picked that up? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now that's a bit of a mystery that has been uncovered and that we get to know. The mystery that would allow the manifold wisdom of God to be made known by the church, even to principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord, and this was from the foundation of the world. These mysteries are worth knowing here. Colossians 1, 24 through 28. Colossians 1, verses 24 through 28. This is one we know and we talk about a good bit, but it is certainly worth repeating and acknowledging here. The mystery of Christ in us. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh and what is lacking in and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God. Okay, he was a stewardship mentioned here. We'll come back to that a little bit later. Which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations and has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Something revealed and a very important one. We won't read Galatians 2:20. You've already memorized that one. It was Dr. Meredith's favorite scripture, I think. The Spirit of Christ living in us enables us, among other things, to keep the commandments of God, to want to keep the commandments of God. Second, to be transformed inwardly by that process so that we choose as Christ does, and we will want to do that forever. Another one, to be resurrected and glorified. The mystery of Christ in us. Other things we could add an entire sermon on that subject. Romans 11, 25 through 33. Romans 11, 25 through 33. The mystery of Israel's blindness. I wonder if you know what this one is. If you were asked to explain this, could you explain the mystery of Israel's blindness? Verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That, here comes the mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away unrighteousness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. That was mentioned in the sermonette earlier, the second Exodus, when they return. Verse 28, concerning the gospel, they, referring to the Jews, are enemies for your sake. They were persecuted by the Jews of their day. But concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. The fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They are unconditional promises made that were made to Israel and specifically to our Jewish friends, brethren, like the scepter Although those things cannot be abrogated, and God will be faithful to them because those promises were made unconditional to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sinai was a conditional covenant. Verse 30. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they may obtain mercy. So because Israel sinned, it makes possible for Christ to come to die for our sins, and that we will have the church can obtain mercy, and then also the whole world can obtain mercy as a result of that. God has committed them all to a disobedience that he might have mercy on all. And then Paul gives this exclamation here. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You know why? They're mysteries. They're mysteries. They were covered from the foundation of the world, and then he reveals them to the church and to us and to the world through the church. What a remarkable thing. We hear some others. I'll just mention a few to you here. We're not going into them. Revelation 17, 1 through 7 is the mystery of Babylon. Revelation 17, 1 through 7. Ephesians 5, 28 through 33 is the mystery of the bride of Christ. Ephesians 5, 28 through 33. Matthew 13, 33. Matthew 13, 33 is the mystery of iniquity. 1 Timothy 3, 16, the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. Boy, I'm having fun up here. I'm just reeling. I hope I've got your interest in this subject here. Revelation 1:20 is the mystery of the seven stars. The mystery of the seven stars, Revelation 1:20. Ephesians 1:9, the mystery of his will. Ephesians 1:9. Revelation 17:7, the mystery of the woman and the beast. Revelation 17:7. Point number two, we've discussed several mysteries in the Bible and listed several more. Hopefully these will make us aware of the mysteries and desire to be more fully informed of them. These are mysteries that not only can we understand, they're mysteries we must understand. Point number three, so what does all this mean to you? Why must we understand them? Many reasons, here are a few. These revealed mysteries compose a body of faith for the church. The mysteries compose a body of faith for the church. There are many scriptures I can read on this, maybe just a couple very quickly. I'll reference 1 Timothy 3, 8 and 9, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. The body of faith that we have is largely a revealed thing. Likewise, deacons must be relevant, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. It doesn't say of the faiths, plural. The faith is a collective thing that includes all of the things that we believe. And it's the mystery of the faith, the revealed things of the faith. I could mention others, Acts 14:22, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. There's a body of faith that we have. I'll refer you to Mr. John Strain's sermon, Three Elements of Faith, of January 13, 2024. His third point goes over this. Very interesting point. So what does this mean to us? Well, here are a few things. Just a few of the things. Those who believe God reveals mysteries have the enmity of the world. They just have an immune response to these mysteries. They don't like them. God reveals mysteries of foolishness, the absurdity to the world. Foolishness, they don't make any sense. They don't scan. They're heretical to much of Christianity. They don't believe these things out in mainstream Christianity, many of them, when you examine their faith. You have eyes to see while others, seeing they do not see. How valuable is that? Does that mean a lot to you? I hope it does. You have a necessity to act on the faith in God's revealed mysteries if the faith that you have is going to be a living one. Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46. I said we would read this earlier. Here it is. Just wanted to save this one characteristic of the kingdom here towards the end. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. We've given our all, I hope we have, for this pearl of great price. Summary of point number three. Summary of point number three. The mysteries of God put a difference between us and the world, because we are warned in Luke 8:18. He says, therefore take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear, for whoever has to him, more will be given, and whoever does not have even what he seems to have will be taken from him. Brethren, let's take heed how we hear. You've got ears to hear. Take heed how you hear. You've got eyes to see. Take heed how you see. These things are our body of faith. So, you want to know a secret? Well, it's actually a mystery. Mystery. Several of them. Biblical mysteries aren't something even the greatest detective can solve. They must be revealed, and to be revealed, you must have eyes to see and ears to hear. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 and 2. I said we would come to this, an important scripture, a very important takeaway today. Having seen and heard, we have a great responsibility for it. Let's see what he says. Let a man consider this as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Sadly, some throw that pearl away or lose it along the way. Let's be faithful stewards and contend earnestly for the body of faith that is contained in the mysteries of God.